This is the regular city council meeting, it's Monday, January 11th, 2016, 7 p.m.
I'd like to welcome you to the first regular city council meeting of 2016. So I'll call this meeting to order at 7 p.m. and if you'd all please arise. Let us all take a moment to pray for a blessing and guidance to make good decisions for the city council and the governing of this community. And then we'll move into the Pledge of Allegiance. So if everyone will please bow their heads and say, ask for blessing and guidance, and then we'll proceed. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. May be seated. We have a busy, packed meeting tonight. I want to welcome everyone here to Othello, those of you who are from out of town, and also those of you who are from Othello. Item 1.4 on our agenda is the roll call. I see that all our council members are present, so we'll move to item 1.5, citizen input. That's the time where citizens have an opportunity to address the Othello City Council. Is there any citizen here who would like to address the city council? Please raise your hand and I'll recognize you, and you can come to the microphone, and you have up to 5 minutes to address the council with any item of concern. Is there anyone here who would like to address the city council? Okay. Hearing none. To item 2, which is the approval of tonight's agenda. Next time, I'd entertain a motion to approve our agenda tonight.
Make that motion.
Second.
Motion has been made in second to approve the agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Moving to item number 3, consent agenda. This time I'd entertain a motion to approve tonight's consent agenda.
I'll make that motion. I'll second.
Got a motion made in second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Moving on to our current business. Tonight, we have the privilege of electing a new mayor pro tem. Ben Johnson is mayor pro tem for the last several years, and he was replaced on the council by Larry McCourty. And so that means we get to elect a new mayor pro tem. You'll find in the memo and the agenda the mayor pro tem or tempore is another term of the deputy mayor, and biennially at the first meeting of a new council or periodically, the members thereof by majority vote may designate one of their number as mayor pro tempore or deputy mayor for such period as the council may specify to serve in the absence or temporary disability of the mayor, or in lieu thereof, the council may, as the need may arise, appoint any qualified person to serve as mayor pro tempore. So the process for the election of the mayor pro tem is as follows. At this time, the mayor will call for nominations. All nominations should have a second or they will die. After all nominations are received, the mayor calls for a vote. And if there's not a majority of the vote, the number of nominations are reduced by either a runoff between the top two or elimination of the individual receiving the least number of votes. The nominations must include a term, which is set by the council and should be included in the motion to appoint. And this term is discretionary by council vote. So at this time, as the mayor of Othello, I will call for nominations for mayor pro tem.
I'll nominate Gina for 1 year.
Second.
We have a nomination for Gina Zorro as our mayor pro tem. Is there any other nominations? Okay, hearing none. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor, we have a motion made and seconded to appoint Gina Zorro for one term as mayor here. as the mayor pro tem. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried unanimously. Congratulations, Gina. So we won't move you tonight, but at the next council meeting, you'll sit next to the mayor. And I will say, I have some plans. I will be gone on 25th, the wedding anniversary is this year. August and September are really good Chinook salmon fishing months. And so there will be times that I'll be gone and the council will be in good hands with Gina as our mayor at that point. Okay, so let's move on in our agenda to item 4.2, agreement with SBZ wastewater discharge. And we also have some guests from Department of Ecology, and so I'm going to have Wade introduce them and explain this process we've gone through with SBZ.
Mayor, council, citizens, first of all, I want to correct something the mayor just said. He said something about a fishing trip. What the mayor meant to say was he has important business he thinks he'll have to attend to in August, September, not fishing. So just to make that clear. On a serious note, yes, we have tonight before us a question. There's a agenda memo that sort of explains it, but not in really great detail. A number of weeks ago, SBZ came to the city to ask to help them out with a problem, and that is discharge of their wastewater during the wintertime when they're unable to discharge it onto a land application. And so that generated lots of questions, and we've been looking at a lot of different issues on that. The primary thing is, will our facility handle it both in capacity and with the stuff that's going into the system? And so we started had talks with, and SBZ had already started talking with the Department of Ecology. And so tonight we have to answer questions as necessary. We have Ellie Key and Sean Thompson back there to answer questions with that. We also have people from SBC here, Mike and Jim, and two of their higher-ups in the company to answer questions as well about why they want to do it and that sort of thing. But the bottom line here is, can the city do it, and what do we need to charge for it? Can we do it both in the short term and long term? So what we're looking at here is several things. First of all, we need to study the problem a little bit to answer those questions I just talked about. The second thing is, as we look at it, we find that it's actually a three-tier solution to the SBC's issue. One is a very short term is they're going to truck the waste out, and Kurt will go into more detail here to explain it better than I can, into our facility, put it down a manhole pretty much. The problem there is, how do we measure it? Well, there's measuring equipment out there. The issue there is we can't get that measure equipment in place quick enough to get this going to help SVZ out through this wintertime. So the first tier is to come up with a temporary solution, which we think we have, and SVC has come up with a temporary solution, which Ecology is looking at, and they think it might work, and our folks think it might work, to make sure we don't have the wrong stuff going into it. And without going into technical details, that's what we're looking at. The second tier will be to put some of that better measuring equipment in place and let them continue to track it. Now, you might ask, what's long term? Long term is after the season's over, after we look at it and see, yeah, this may actually work for both SVC, and the center and the city. Then what's the long term? Long term is to construct some kind of piping system that goes into our wastewater system out there, and to make sure that's going to work long term. So it's a tiered approach. So what we're going to be asking tonight, after you hear from Kurt and all the questions you may have, is to let us proceed forward, and we can either you can either authorize us to develop the contract based on what you're hearing tonight and based on what we're going to tell you, and go ahead and execute that, or come back to you in 2 weeks and give you the completed contract. But the more we delay, the more that's going to impede SBZ's ability to do what they need to do keep everybody on board with their company and expand as necessary. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Kurt and let him expand on what I just said, correct any discrepancy I may have had, what I said also.
My understanding is we're going to get this done in 5 minutes, so Wade can go see his football game. Is that?
Yeah, you're right, Kurt. I gave you 5 minutes. So,
four public hearings.
Go Clemson.
Oh, he did not say that.
Council and staff, what you have in front of you today is two agreements. The first agreement is the agreement between the Varela and Associates and the city of Othello to perform some short-term analysis of your treatment plant capacities, both in a flow and loading, and then also do some longer-term analysis of it, and then try to tie all that up with some recommendations regarding rates, code updates, et cetera. So the agreement that you have in front of us has four deliverables. I'm going to spend a little bit of time on each one of those deliverables. The one is the temporary treatment recommendation, the draft agreement. So that is our attempt to go into the facility and kind of kick the tires on it, see what the capacity is on the treatment plant and what we'd recommend for a very safe, conservative amount of flow and loading going into that plant. Those recommendations have been forwarded to the city and reviewed with both staff and the sewer committee. The second is a technical memorandum that does a little bit greater depth look at the treatment capacity, both in a flow and loading, and then also some discussions with city and staff regarding reserving capacity for future residential growth and potentially earmarking some of that capacity for industrial flow. The next technical memorandum is to look at that reserve capacity that the city may have tagged for industrial flow, and how does that specifically relate to SVZ? So as you can imagine, when you get industrial flow, it can be relatively clean water, it can be high in BOD, and as we set those parameters, we need to determine what the capacity that specifically SVZ is consuming with their discharge. And the third one is a more in-depth rate study and recommendations to the city for a long-term industrial discharge rate. And with that would be some code updates. So right now, though your code doesn't specifically exclude industrial discharge, there it's mute on the point of industrial discharge. It does bring it up and define it, but it does not currently address it in your code. And we did that because we didn't want to spend time and effort on one level of analysis before we get to another a level of analysis. So we didn't need to set an industrial discharge rate if the city determined they didn't want to take industrial discharge. Any questions regarding the specific agreement?
So this is an interim agreement until we come to a longer-term solution.
This is just the agreement between Varela and the city to do the analysis and make the recommendations to the city. There's no legal binding between the city and SVZ in this particular. This is just an engineering agreement.
And that has a cost associated with it?
Yes.
And you want to tell the council what the cost is?
The proposed cost is $36,330.
Okay. Are you going to ask the city for the appropriations for that study?
I'll answer that. No, we've been in contact with SVC since we had our meeting, John.
Okay.
And I believe they've agreed to cover the cost of that study at this point. Jim, is that correct? Okay. So, yeah, after our conversation, they agreed to do that. So basically what we'll do it, we'll pay Kurt, and then we'll bill SVC for the cost.
Okay.
So we're actually on 4.3 right now as opposed to 4.2?
That's, yeah, it goes into 4. They sort of intermingle. It's hard to separate the two. It's,
you're right, Gina.
Yeah.
Yep.
Getting back to 4.2, it's a two-step. There's the agreement with SVZ over the wastewater discharge, and then there's the amendment to Varela agreement, which is to do the study. So the first thing on our agenda then, I guess since we have Department of Ecology here, and they've driven all this way to Othello, maybe I should ask if you guys have a comment. You are obviously and have developed this through this process with the city, Varela, and SVZ, and you guys are in agreement with this?
We are, and I'm an LEP, and I'm actually
Could, Ellie, could you come to the microphone, please?
My name's Ellie Key, and I'm actually the municipal discharge permit manager and also the facility engineer. And Sean Thompson's my coworker, and he deals with SVZ. So together, we've been working with both the city and the industry to work on this agreement and to make sure that all parties are protected. So.
Yep, and Sean? Yep.
Yeah, so the as far as the ecology stance on this, you know, SVZ came to us with the same problem that they're presenting to the council right now. And this was the solution that we saw, or a potential option. And then through, you know, the things that we've looked at as far as the capacity of the city and then what's needed by SVZ at this time, we're able to you know, hopefully be able to create a situation where this will work for everybody. And so in ecology's view of this, currently there would be some changes that would have to be made as far as an agreed order for both permits to allow for this to happen. But in fact, it is, we're, you know, completely capable or have the capacity to be able to allow this to go forward.
Very good. Well,
so would your permit requirements require that they do the aeration and then they polish in their pond prior to discharge?
So I believe the way that the permit is structured, or the way that we've discussed this to this point, and again, really probably take this much further than what we could. The idea currently is to take wastewater from the holding pond, which is the near endpoint for SVZ, and then discharge it to the city. So we would have water that's coming to you that's completely classified or characterized, and then brought and added to this, to the city's wastewater system. So it's not finished and polished water.
But the BOD load from the discharge of the facility to the discharge of the holding pond after aeration is considerably different. Once it travels through, there's a retention time in that 7 million gallon storage facility. So what you would get straight out of their facility and what you would get out of the discharge of their pond, what they would irrigate, if they were going to irrigate, is significant difference. So what I'm saying is that we look at the, in doing our study, if we find out that the BOD load out of the discharge of their holding pond, okay, which they hold in order to irrigate, you know, when irrigation is available.
Right.
And it's a storage for them over the winter months when they cannot irrigate. Mm-hmm. So if we could come up with a figure of what they could discharge to the city continuously.
So this goes into the two-tier or the multiple-tier approach that we're talking about. So in the interim, we're talking about a temporary discharge order to allow SVZ to take this batch volume of water, about 50,000 gallons a day, and discharge it directly to a sewer manhole. And we've looked at existing hydraulic and organic loading at the municipal treatment plant. There's no foreseeable impact with this small amount of wastewater being discharged on a daily basis. The second piece of this is looking at a more permanent solution and actually hard piping a discharge to the municipal facility. And at that point, SVZ would become a significant industrial user. They would be obligated under Ecology's pretreatment program. They would have their own pretreatment permit in addition to their state waste discharge permit, which allows them to land apply. And so that's going to take more analysis and more document preparation, things that Kurt has talked about, and for that to happen. But in the interim between now and when SVZ can actually irrigate come mid-May, what we're going to do, or what we're proposing to do, is to write an agreed order between Ecology and the city, and then to write an agreed order between Ecology and SVZ so that there's protection on both sides. And at this point, you know, like I said, there's hydraulic and organic capacity at the municipal facility, so we don't see that there's going to be any issue with encroaching upon our design criteria threshold where there could be potential violations for the city.
Okay, so that being said, do you think that in looking at it in a long-term solution, that we could handle, if not all, then a portion of what they are or creating a day?
Yeah, that's possible. And you would still be able to maintain capacity for municipal growth as well.
Right, right. Because the capacity goes down quite a bit, you know, when there's no precipitation. I mean, we go through summer months with not getting any precipitation for a long time. You get a lot of evapotranspiration that takes place as well. So it increases the capacity to where we could handle a little bit larger load than what we would at this point.
On this temporary basis, yes.
Yes.
In the long run, yes, sir.
Okay, good.
John, one of the things that I asked LA last week, we were concerned about in our meeting, was the effect on our permit down the road. And LA feels like it wouldn't, because we're not going to change our levels particularly.
Well, I'm drafting the new discharge permit for the facility. And so taking this wastewater won't have any effect on effluent limits at this time through this next permit cycle. And, you know, I wouldn't expect major changes in that.
Good.
The other thing I might add too is in the second tier of this, as far as the long-term approach, if in fact SDZ were to discharge to the city on a regular basis or through a pipeline or something, in fact, like Ellie was saying, this would change their permit constraints to where they would become a pretreatment facility. So those concerns that you have as far as the characterization of that wastewater on a continual basis or pretreatment as far as the depth or addressing spikes in pH or anything like that would all be managed through a pretreatment permit, so they would be confined to certain criteria they'd have to meet before the water could even leave to enter into your system.
Yeah, it wasn't a concern as much as it was a clarification of where it's going to be received from, you know, where it comes from to the city.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, good.
Very good, thank you. So, is there anything further, Council? Any other questions you have?
I've got one question, and it may not. Being from a fellow here, I don't know how many years they've been out there, but how come we're permitted at this late a time? How come it wasn't permitted and gone to the city at the time that they built the facility? Then they didn't have wastewater then?
Well, I can't address that necessarily, this particulars. Actually, Gina may have more background on that than I do. Reading the fact sheet and the history of it, the treatment plant out there actually did take industrial flow at one point in time, and I believe with some of the bigger industrial dischargers, it was at capacity, and at some point in time in the 80s, I'm thinking.
Oh, when they...
Yeah.
Then they cut the pipe off to the bigger...
Uh-huh.
Because it was too small at that time, and they just never... started taking it again after the expansion.
Mm-hmm. So I've gone over the Varela agreement, and I've also indicated that we've done a preliminary draft of the initial analysis of the plant. Currently, your plant's at about 45% capacity for flow and a little under 50% capacity for loading. Our recommendations to the sewer committee and staff was to allow up to, like Ellie said, 50,000 gallons per day and about 1,000 pounds of BOD a day. That is about 5% of your flow and about 3% of your loading on a daily basis. So the second document that you got in front of you is the preliminary agreement between the City of Othello and SVZ. And Wade alluded to it, but we've got some fine-tuning to do it from a legal perspective and also from a realistic implementation perspective with SVZ as far as getting some of these automated sampling and flow monitoring things online. As he indicated, we could proceed with recommendation of approval contingent upon legal concurrence, engineering and staff and SVZ and DOE concurrence, or we could delay this another 2 weeks and have the full agreement in front of you at that time.
Do you have a preference, Council?
I have no problem approving it tonight.
None whatsoever. I think we need to move as fast as we can.
Okay. I'd entertain a motion then to approve the contract with SVZ with conditions including meeting all city, county, state, and federal regulations.
Make
make that motion.
Second.
Motion made and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Second part of that is the amendment to the Varela agreement to do the study. And so at this time, I would entertain a motion to approve this new Varela agreement.
I'll make that motion.
Second. Actually, I have a question about that first.
Yes.
Do we have it in writing somewhere that SVZ is going to pay for that? Or has it just been talked about?
No, it's a word from officials there in SVZ. They will. So if they don't pay for it, then we won't allow the discharge. How about that?
But we're still out $36,000.
We are. That's right. So we could get that in writing. If you can say it, have it subject to approved, subject to agreement in writing from them, which I'm sure I'll get my first thing in the morning.
If we don't get it in writing tomorrow, I'll just quit doing the analysis as well, so there'll be no further invoice bills to the city.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Council? Good. I'll entertain a motion then.
I'll take that motion.
Second.
Any further discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much, Kurt. So now we'll move to item 4.4, which is a public hearing on the community development block grant planning only grant funds. And I would like to open this public hearing. It's thank you very much for coming, ladies and gentlemen. I'll open this public hearing at 7:27 p.m. and I need to find out, is there anyone here who would like to have this public hearing translated into Spanish, because we want to make that available for anyone who needs Spanish translation. If you do, please raise your hand. Okay, hearing none. Then we'll continue on in English. And we have a presentation from Travis, Community Development Director, for this public hearing on the Community Development Block Grant.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If you're thinking that this topic is familiar, it's because I was here a few months ago talking to you about a community development block grant, planning only grant, for $24,000 to help us pay for our comprehensive planning efforts. We received that money and it currently is in our budget and we are using that to do the work. The community development block grant program is aimed at qualifying communities to enhance the quality of life for low and moderate income residents. And it's administered by the Washington State Department of Commerce. There are seven programs, including the general purpose grant, and we had asked for almost $1 million for a sewer line at the end of last year or end of the summer last year. Fortunately, we did not get that grant, but the planning only grant, public service grants, housing enhancement grants, imminent threat grants, and the economic opportunity grants are the other programs that are available to us. Tonight we are talking again about the planning only grant, and that is essentially grants that are designed for improving community services, improving public safety, and furthering our strategic planning efforts, and that's the one that we are going for. And I've prepared the documentation on the assumption that you would want a recommendation for this year's project, and that is for the update of our critical areas ordinances and to reorganize and update the Othello Municipal Code. So the reason why I'm terming it like that, if you've had a chance to read the agenda memo, is at the end of these grants, we need to produce some kind of deliverable product, and the more we promise, the bigger and bigger and bigger those deliverables are. And so I've essentially envisioned that we are going to ask for some very specific things, and that is update of our critical areas ordinances. So those are the steep and unstable soils, steep slopes, unstable soils, the wetlands, the habitat, and the archaeological areas. Those are generally what are called the critical areas ordinances. We have very few of those in the city, but we're required by law to keep ordinances up to date. So that's kind of an easy, low-hanging fruit, plus the Department of Commerce is going to require us to update that within the next year or two. And then the second one is to reorganize the code book. As we've all noticed over the last year that I've been here, we keep coming across things that really need to be fixed and reorganized, and things that just don't make sense or they conflict. So we're going to call it a general reorganization so we can take everything and try and put it in the right place. If we get extra work done and fix this or adopt new zoning, that's great. But the deliverable is simply going to be an easier to read, more organized code. And if we have money left over, I will try and pack in as much of the code improvements that you would like to see. But from the grant point of view, it's a very easy deliverable that we can achieve and receive our money for. You're not obligated to go by that. As a matter of fact, today's public hearing is the opportunity for the public and anybody who's on the council or in the audience to suggest other ideas for pursuing for grants. Other ideas include the water supply grant or water supply plan, which we already have in work. So technically, we already have some of that work done, which wouldn't be able to cover by the grant. The wastewater treatment plant capacity study, which is what you kind of, and I just threw that up there. I wasn't sure what exactly Varela is calling it, but that's the work that you were talking about today that it looks like SVZ is covering. So we could, we get one a year, we could try and use it and save SVZ some money, or we could move on to a next project, try and get more done. The industrial treatment plant plan for wastewater, and we know that the port and the county are reviewing and working on that, so I don't know that we necessarily want to use our one grant this year to duplicate what they're already doing. We could do an overall system, a sewer system plan, looking at the pipes and the quality of the pipes as opposed to the facility. We could look at water treatment or reuse plan. We could look at an ADA compliance plan or area transportation plans. Those are all things that are kind of the long-term planning that would qualify for this type of grant. Part of community development block grant requires public notice, and that standard includes public notice documents in the back of the audience, both in English and Spanish, plus having Rebecca Ozuna, who is a translator here at this meeting tonight. But in order to apply for a capital or a community development block grant, we have to have an authorization from the governing body, like the city council, to let the Department of Commerce know that I'm not just applying for money, and if they award it to me, I'm not going to spend it. So that's what the resolution for you is tonight. So
this target that you're looking at, Travis, $34,931 under your budget that you created, is that a good number? That's kind of what you think you can get?
And you know, the $24,000 is what we qualify for. What I did is I essentially established a budget of what I think it's going to be on the outside. And because the costs for me are already in the budget, theoretically, you know, there might be $10,000 or $15,000 that I might save the general fund. But yeah, that was my best guess. And
good.
It's kind of like the comp plan. It takes a lot more time than you actually think.
It's very well put together. You got it broke down pretty good, per individual cost. So I think in submitting that, you're going to get something, right?
Oh yes, Travis. Thank you. Is there any other questions, Council, that you have for Travis regarding this grant? Okay. At this time, I'd like to open public testimony. Is there anyone here who is in support of that? It's a three-part testimony. Those in support, those neutral to the proposal, or those in opposition. I'll call for those in support. Is there anyone here who would like to speak in support of the city applying for this community development block grant for the purposes outlined. Okay. Is there anyone that would like to speak that is neutral to this proposal? Meaning you don't care one way or another? Is there anyone who's in opposition who doesn't believe the city should be applying for this grant? Okay. Well, at this time then, I'll close the public testimony and this public hearing at 7:35 p.m. and move on to item 4.5, resolution authorizing the submittal of a community development block grant application. I need the council to make a motion and authorize the mayor to sign a resolution so that we can apply for this grant.
Make that motion.
Second.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now we're going to move to item 4.6, public hearing on the Allen East First Avenue zone change. I'd like to open this public hearing at 7:36 p.m. And we have a short presentation by Community Development Director Travis Goddard.
Thank you. Again, thank you. This is the First Avenue zone change for the Allen East Strip Mall. The property was subdivided by short plat in 2009, and that should have been included in your package. It's a map I'll have in the presentation in a minute. The commercial mall itself was actually built in 2013, and they just recently had their first tenant in 2015. And in reviewing the business license application for that business, I came to realize that there appears to be some inconsistency in the zoning. There are three or four old zoning maps that are kicking around public City Hall that were produced by our previous engineering firm, and they didn't have dates on them. And so it appears that some things had changed and some things didn't on each version, so I couldn't figure out which one was the most appropriate and most recent. So I've been working with our new engineers, Varela and Associates, and they've managed to produce some really nice new GIS maps that are available. And I give you a copy of that today. This is the revised version of the map, and they've changed the color scheme so that you can actually tell the difference between the zoning districts. And the piece of property that we're dealing with is this pink square that's inside the first, or right next to the First Avenue label. The dark, deep red, the blood red, is Commercial 1, and the pink across the street is Commercial 2, and then the yellow farther to the west is Light Industrial, and then the yellow to the east is Residential. And here's a little idea, a better idea of what the zoning is based upon the aerial from Google Maps. And again, you can see that this site outlined in blue is the commercial two. Now, when I overlay that zoning map over the subdivision map, what you see is only a portion of lot two is zoned commercial two. And so essentially, commercial one, which allows retail and service businesses, only about the north 50 feet of that building can actually be used for retail and service. So one of the quirks I noticed with our code, and I've mentioned this before, is the commercial two district is really kind of our heavier commercial zone. It allows for more invasive impacts like outside storage, rental lots, vehicle repairs, fabrication, stuff that has noise and odors that go with it. The commercial one zone, or I'm sorry, so before I get into that, for zoning consistency, the existing building cannot generally be occupied for retail and office space because the majority of it is in the wrong zone, and the commercial building as constructed would be better suited for commercial one. And the commercial one is more retail, professional offices, recreation facilities. It doesn't involve outside storage and that kind of stuff. So in considering the rezone for the applicable codes, I've listed some of those code sections here, and in the analysis, hopefully in the agenda, you understood the difference between the C1, which is more outside and invasive versus, or I'm sorry, the C2, which is more invasive versus the C1, which is what I think the building was originally intended for when it was constructed. Now, there is one thing I needed to point out, and that is under the Othello Municipal Code, that the Planning Commission is the review and recommendation body to the City Council. For those of you who were with the council when I first started, we kind of went over the responsibilities of the council and the Planning Commission. And the Planning Commission is supposed to make recommendations for you. Unfortunately, when this came in the middle of last year, we were working through a lot of stuff with the Planning Commission, including the comprehensive plan update. And so the Alanises have been kind of in neutral for several months. Because it's my slow season and the permits aren't coming in, I picked this up and started to work through it. And then I realized I needed to take it to the Planning Commission because it hasn't gone to the Planning Commission yet. Unfortunately, the Planning Commission doesn't meet again until February, and we only have 5 of the 7 positions. So I was hoping to bring this to you because you have the option to make legislative decisions without recommendations from the Planning Commission, should you choose to. And so if you would like to remand this to the Planning Commission, I can take it to them at the end of February, but that's 3 or 4 more months by the time I actually get the analysis done and get it to them before I bring it back to you. And by then I'll be in the 2016 building season, and so I'll be busy at that time. So I'm hoping you'll overlook this because this seems like it was a pretty clear mistake and error. So the 3 things you need to consider, and that is it in the public's interest? And then does it benefit the public welfare of the community, and is it consistent with the city's zoning scheme? And so I recommended in the staff report that the C1 zoning be approved. And I also tacked on to the end of this ordinance an official City of Othello zoning map with a specific date on it, and I gave you a copy of that. So what it means is we will hopefully move out of the era where I have 3 or 4 undated maps to having a consistent single map with a specific date so that everybody knows they're playing on the same field.
I think it makes a lot of sense to make that a C1. If I was one of those houses behind there, I wouldn't want a C2 commercial business in there making a lot of noise and or smells or whatever, you know, coming out of there.
Well, that, and it's consistent with the zoning around it. If for some reason we have this little island of C2 in the middle of C1, that really doesn't make any sense. So it should be consistent with the zoning around it, and I think it should just be changed. And I think the Planning Commission would probably come back with the same recommendation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Council, do you have any more questions of Travis? Thank you, Travis. All right. At this time, I'd like to open the public testimony portion into 3 parts: those who speak in support, those who are neutral to the proposal, and those in opposition. Is there anyone here tonight who would like to speak in support of this zone change? Is there anyone who is neutral to this proposal who would like to speak to the council? Is there anyone in opposition of this zone change to a C1? Okay, with that, I'll close the public hearing at 7:44 p.m. and we'll move to item 4.7, ordinance modifying the City of Othello zoning map and a zone change with these specific parcels. I need a motion to approve this ordinance and authorize the mayor to sign it.
I'll make that motion.
I'd second it.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Next item is 4.8, public hearing on the Hampton 14th Avenue Annexation Ordinance Amendment. I think this is just a cleanup item, but Travis is going to get into that, so I'll open this public hearing at 7:45 p.m.
And Travis, you have a short presentation.
Yes. So the annexation for this site, which is south of CBHA site, was completed or was approved on July 27th, 2015. And the zoning was approved or confirmed on September 28th, 2015. The paperwork for that was filed with the state, and the Office of Financial Management, or the OFM, responded to that application. And they pointed out that there was a discrepancy. This is the site map that was sent to them with the annexation. And you might recognize this from our last couple hearings. The farm unit map that we are looking at here is Farm Unit 101, and when it was created, I believe it was in 1960, they dedicated, on the south end of that, they dedicated a half-width right-of-way that became the Department of Transportation right-of-way for Highway 26. And unfortunately, the legal description describes to the center line of the highway, even though the map, even though our annexation intention was not to include a half-width right-of-way. And the Office of Financial Management pointed out that a city cannot annex a half-width right-of-way. We either need to move our city boundary to the south side of the highway or to the north side of the highway, and they wanted us to pick one. So my suggestion is that we remove this from the legal description so we do not annex the half-width of the highway. And so the ordinance that you have before you will reflect this map here, which means the Hampton property will be part of the city, but the Department of Transportation will not be. And I recommend approval of the ordinance as submitted.
Council? Got questions? You know what we're doing?
Yeah.
All right.
So if we annex to the south, how is that going to affect with the state? As far as state route,
it doesn't really. It may have some impact on Terry, and he may address that, and whether or not there's additional concerns about having our city boundary between the state highway and the irrigation district canal. I don't know if that raises problems. I'm sure Terry would be able to answer that.
Are you saying as far as maintaining it?
Well, we would regulate it. Whether or not we maintain it or there are any other responsibilities that go along with that, I don't know.
Because we had talked at one time, maybe in the future, making a four lane, slowing down traffic, remember? So I don't know if this would be a benefit to us to annex the south or just go to the north. I don't know, guys. I don't know. So
elaborate on that. What would it do if we did bring it into the city?
I don't think it would make that much of a difference. Part of it is a selfish reason, and that is because we haven't done any notification for annexation for that south half of the property. So I would technically have to redo the entire annexation to include that extra land that was not covered by our previous planning efforts. So I'm trying to cut corners here in one sense.
I think anything south of Highway 26 is going to require more study and more cooperation amongst landowners, and so this is the cleanup essentially for both the city and for the Hamptons to move forward with developing their property. So,
okay.
Yeah. All right. So at this time I'll open for public testimony. In three parts, those in support, those neutral, and those in opposition. Is there anybody here in support that would like to speak to this proposed ordinance and annexation change? Is there anyone who's neutral to the proposal that would like to speak? Is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to this annexation? Okay, hearing none. Close this public hearing at 7:49 p.m. and move to item 4.9, ordinance to amend number 1439 Hampton annexation. So entertain a motion to approve that ordinance and authorize the mayor to sign it.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, we'll move on to item 4.10, Well 9 Pump Station Project, change order number 1.
So you actually have two change orders in front of you. They're both for contractor request and additional contract time. There is no cost related to either one of these. Change order number 1 for the Well 9 Pump Station is for 15 calendar days. That is for 3 calendar days due to inclement weather, and 12 calendar days for investigation and implementation of changes necessary to manage the unexpected groundwater that was encountered during excavation of the building. It's been reviewed with staff and sewer committee, and recommendation is to approve the change order number 1 for the Well 9 Pump Station Project.
Okay. So there's no additional change in the contract price?
No, sir.
Council, do you have any questions for Kurt? At this time, I entertain a motion to approve change order number 1 to Well Number 9 Pump House Change.
I'll make that motion.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Go to 4.11, Well 9 Pumping Equipment and Installation Project, change order number 1.
Yeah, so if you recollect back when we first started talking about the Well 9 project, we intentionally broke it into two parts. And the initial part that went out was to get the equipment ordered ahead of construction installation. That project was awarded to Schneider Water Services, who at the time was having a difficult time finding an electrical contractor, and decided to self-perform the electrical work. This pushed the equipment order and thus delayed the completion of the project. So if you go to the second page of the change order, this contract was done by a completion date, so we just shifted the completion date. Again, there's no associated cost to the change order request, and no impact on the construction of the project either. This has been reviewed with staff and the sewer committee and recommended for approval by council.
Council, do you have any questions?
What's the expected completion date to be?
Substantial completion is currently for February 26th, final completion for March 31st.
Okay. Any further questions, Councilor? All those in favor of the change order number 1 for the Well 9 Pumping Equipment and Installation Project?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Kurt. We'll move to item 4.12. And this is regarding an ordinance. I ask the council to consider changing the start time for all future council workshops and regular meetings from 7 p.m. to 6:30, moving it up a half an hour. So at the time, I asked you to think about it, and then we were going to come back at the first regular council meeting of the new year. And is there any thoughts? Anybody want, you guys in favor of this? Or would you, do you still like the 7 o'clock time?
Well, my only concern would be for the gentleman that would have a hard time getting here. So if they're in favor.
I'll make it happen.
Will you make it happen?
I like 6:30.
Okay. Yep. All right. Then I need a motion to adopt this ordinance, changing meetings and council workshops and regular meetings from 7 to 6:30.
I'll make that motion.
Second. We have a motion made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Unfinished business. I have one thing, and this is just a clarification. When Ken Johnson, he's a member of the Adams County Development Council, and on our records, we had him as the City of Othello representative. Well, he came to our office last Monday, and I had forgotten this, but he is actually the City of Hatton representative. Now, the Adams County Development Council has different categories for their, I think it's a 15-man and woman board. And so a number of them are elected officials from throughout the county. Numbers are from different categories. And since that, he's been on that for quite some time, on the Development Council. And so anyway, I just wanted to make that clarification. Currently, the city's representative is Pat Simmons, and I appointed him 2 years ago, and he still is in that position. And so tonight I'm just here with that clarification. Also, I have extended an offer to a gentleman by the name of Chris Doro to be upon the Planning Commission. And I heard from his wife tonight that he has accepted. I wasn't sure that he was going to accept. So he would be replacing Larry McCourty's position, and I still need to find another person, but I need council approval to accept the nomination of Chris Doro to the Planning Commission.
We need a motion.
Motion first. Mm-hmm. I'll make that motion.
Second.
Should okay. I? And stay out of this one?
Yeah,
I
you
will
should
abstain.
Okay. So you'll recuse yourself from this? Okay. And so, all those in favor of Chris Doro on the Planning Commission, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. With the note that Gina has recused herself from the deliberation. And is there any other unfinished business?
I got one thing to bring up. I think we need to look at our hookup fees.
Our sewer and water hookup fees?
Yes. And another thing I'd kind of like to look at is when the business comes in wanting to, you know, bring a business here, there should be some kind of checklist. This is what you need to do. I don't know if that's doable, yeah. But with the fees on there, how much the fees are going to be to do these things.
We talked about this before.
When the business comes in to develop, to build, or just as a business. Yeah, you got an empty lot there, and they want to come and I want to build
a business.
Just a business here. And this is what you need to do. These are the fees that go along with it. So there's no surprises. It's just... Yeah. This is what it is. This is what you need to do.
We're actually working on that. We already have a process for building that Travis has put in place. We're looking at the fees right now, and we talked about just a couple of weeks ago, we talked about having a cheat sheet checklist, so it's such a order. We're working on it.
Okay.
Okay.
So, like, if you locate on a piece of ground that doesn't have a sidewalk currently, you're going to have to put one in. You're going to have to put stormwater system in. You're going to have to,
Some of the stuff varies from lot to lot, depending on what's there, what's not. But there's certain things that are pretty common throughout, and that's...
So, what, Mark, what is it you want to look at? Do you want to just open up the whole ordinance on water and look at each individual?
For the hookup fee? For like a half inch, inch and a half, or whatever? I don't know if we need to revise it or we need to look at it.
It's kind of unclear, and I've posed this question before. It's very unclear. The ordinance needs to be wrote, and it needs to be wrote specifically to what size line you want, what you know you're going to take in volume, and it just needs to be visited and rewrote.
Maybe we can have staff look at that and just make their recommendations.
We'll have staff look at it and meet with the Water Committee, Sewer Water Committee, and we'll meet with, we'll probably start with you guys perhaps, and look at the ordinance in front of us, and then you tell us what part's not clear, and we'll look at it same time. So we'll set that up in the next couple of weeks.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that's a good response. Is there any other unfinished business tonight? Okay, moving on to new business, I have one item. The city of Othello has a sister city from Ghana, the city of Wolensee, and that was set up a number of years ago, and I don't know exactly how long it was, and they have a delegate coming, Kwesi, which is Pastor O.C. Bonsu, and I think if you've been in Othello for a while, you have probably met him before. Well, he is coming to Othello, and he will be here on Friday, and he's going to be in the area meeting different people, probably attending different meetings. And so what I've done is because he's from our sister city, I've invited him to come to the city council meeting in 2 weeks and give him, 10, 15, maybe even as much as 20 minutes to address the council, to maybe give us a report on what's happening in our sister city in Ghana. And we are revisiting, Debbie and I and Becky and the staff, protocol for sister cities. I believe we're going to put together a gift. We'll probably, we're talking about maybe even having a some kind of reception here that night. So whenever a sister city delegate shows up in your city, it's customary to kind of make it a big deal. And so we're researching the protocol. Debbie's been through this now a couple of times, and so she's assisting us. So I just want you to be prepared, and that when we meet again in 2 weeks, we may have some kind of a reception for him, and he will be addressing the council, and we'll probably have some kind of gift for him. So, okay. Is there any other new business? All right. Then, at this time, I'll move to item 7, executive session, 7.1, personnel. And I would like to have the staff prepare the council chambers for executive session. Wade, how long do you anticipate?
5 minutes.
This will be for 5 minutes. Will we be taking any action?
Nope.
There won't be any official action then. Okay, so with that, who do we want to stay?
Terry, me.
You and Terry, okay. Everybody else, if you prepare the meeting room for executive session, we will go into executive session at 8.04 p.m. At 8:10 p.m., we're back in session. Having no further business to come before the council, I'm adjourning tonight's meeting at 8:10 p.m.